everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, I'm so excited to be here with Mark Biles. Mark is an engineer at Boeing. He's married to Roxanne, and they've been married now for 13 years. And together, they have two sons, Corbin, who's 4 years old, and Ivan, who's two. And speaking of two, both Mark and Roxanne have been attending Catalyst for 2 years now. And so with that, Mark, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Oh, thanks, John. It's good to be here.
Yeah, well, you know, I just got to start by commending you for your initiative to reach out to me and ask if you could share your testimony on Catalyst Stories. So appreciate that. And what you did was exactly what we want to see more here at Catalyst, and that's people that would be excited and proactive and very intentional about sharing their stories. So hopefully more of our church family will follow your lead. So I really appreciate that. And to start off with, I thought we could start having a conversation about your dad. I know he was very influential in your life. And so talk about that, how he was influential and inspirational to you.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, my dad, he was a special guy to me. I mean, just like, I don't know, I think that I was really lucky to have a dad as loving as he was. And then he was always supportive of whatever I was doing, and he didn't make me feel like he was better than me, or he didn't put a lot of expectations on me. He was just a good father. And I could always count on him for everything, right? So I didn't, he made me feel really secure in myself.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. And he was a really funny guy too. So he always liked to make people laugh and joke. He was a kind of a joker, and he would always have jokes to tell people, make people kind of feel a little bit at ease, not as formal, right? Lighten the mood a little bit. So I love that about my dad.
Yeah, he sounds very approachable.
He was approachable for me, that's for sure. A lot more than my mom, but
So now I know in 2014 you lost your father, and so I wondered if you can talk about
what was actually 2018.
Oh, I'm sorry, 2018. Yeah, I wondered if you can talk about what happened and how that affected you.
Yeah, so in 2014, like you were saying, that was a kind of a life-changing event for me when my dad had a heart attack.
Oh no!
And it was a pretty bad heart attack where it resulted in congestive heart failure.
Oh,
and so basically, the doctors were like, he needs a heart transplant. Mm-hmm. The medication, it'll work for a little bit, but it's going to be about 2 years or so. And so it was tough, right? Because it's not just like two normal years. It's like 2 years of watching him suffer, you know, going through a lot of pain and mental anguish and in and out of the hospital for various reasons. And we were there right by his side and kind of seeing it all and also battling. It was a lot of spiritual warfare, I felt, where he was being targeted for, you know, the enemy was coming in with fear and unbelief and discouragement and a lot of and depression and darkness, right? And so just being in the hospital, it's very difficult. But a lot of those situations where we were dealing with spiritual warfare, it was life and death for him. And a lot of time, there were a couple times where the doctor's like, he's not going to make it through the night. And it's just devastating, right?
Yeah.
So, but he did. And it was a lot of that is attributed to us battling for him. And that's my belief. He died after 4 years. So really we got two extra years with him, which which is good. It was really tough in 2018 when he passed away too.
And I know, in addition, to the sadness of his loss, I think you mentioned you also might have had some anger as well, and was that anger toward God or
no? I think that just with the experience of the loss of my dad,
yeah,
I didn't know how to deal with it, and it came across as anger.
Yeah.
So it wasn't towards anyone in particular. It was just I was just I couldn't control my anger, and so after my dad passed away, my grandpa, my dad's dad.
Yeah.
You know, I live in the house behind my grandparents, and so,
mm-hmm.
So I was kind of in the trenches dealing with their care too as they're aging. Like he was, they were both in their 90s, and after my dad died, I think that my grandpa's health kind of deteriorated, and I was seeing a lot of that day in and day out, and. In 2021, last year, he passed away too. So that was really difficult for me too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that some anger came out after that too. And just with all the COVID restrictions and lockdowns,
yes.
and the mask mandates and the shots and being threatened. So like the company that I work for, you know, they were threatening to fire me if I didn't get the shots. And I'm like, okay, well, I have to think a lot of stuff to think about last
right,
year.
Right, right.
Yeah. Mm. And so anyways, I think that brought out a lot of, it was like I was in a battle.
Yeah. And I think you had also mentioned that, that also created some fear in you as well, especially with the passing of your dad, because I think your dad had died at 61, I think, right? And you were kind of, that was on your mind of not wanting to also die young and kind of feel like you're abandoning your kids, right?
Yeah. So he died actually when he was 65, but yeah, okay. Still pretty early.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, it kind of brings awareness to your health now, like, okay, well, if anything were to happen to me, then who would care for my kids, right?
Right, right, yeah. So going, you mentioned 2021 when your grandfather passed away, and you started having some health issues, and also some other trials crept up into your life. So I wondered if you can talk about what you went through and how that affected you.
Yeah, so I think when I look back at the anger that was surfacing in my life, I think that part of it was just like I felt sorry for myself I felt kind of powerless or a lot less secure in myself because you're losing your earthly fathers.
Right.
And so anyways, as far as the health problems go, I guess my background is like I'm very fit. Like I play basketball, I boogie board almost every weekend, and I exercise a lot, and I don't eat too bad. I haven't had any real major health problems. It's been great, and I'm 41 now. So last year I was 40, and I was like, okay, well, maybe things are changing, or I don't know, health wise. I guess it was like maybe October of 2021, I got an ear infection. Okay, I never get ear infections, even though I go in the ocean all the time. It's like, okay, well, I got antibiotics. I hadn't had antibiotics in my whole life, maybe once, twice.
Wow.
In my whole life, right? And then last year, start with ear infection. No big deal, minor. Then in January 2021 or 2022, I got COVID, right? Like a lot of people got COVID in January.
Yeah.
And it was like the flu. It wasn't fun, right? It's like just being sick, had fever, chills, all that stuff. Got over it in about a week and a half or so, maybe 10 days. I had a residual cough that turned into, I didn't really take it easy afterwards. And so it turned into like a sinus infection. And so then I was like, okay, well, went to the doctor. They gave me antibiotics, five days of antibiotics. Okay. Then it kind of cleared up a little bit, and then I got like a bronchial infection, like a bronchitis type of deal. I was like, oh man, okay. Well, I wasn't gonna go to the doctor, but then I started like coughing up some blood. I was like, oh, no. Never done that before. I better go see the doctor.
Yeah.
So I go check with the doctor, and he's like, oh, well, here's some antibiotics. So they keep giving me the antibiotics. So I'm like, okay, 10 more days of antibiotics. And while you're on antibiotics, as you know, it's like, it's not really comfortable. It's not really fun experience. And then, so then I felt better. And then I bought a truck from my brother-in-law.
Mm.
It's a really good truck. And I received it, and I was like, okay, I drove it for the first week, and then the check engine light comes on. I was like, oh, man, now my truck is sick.
Yeah.
So I said, has this ever happened? He's like, no, it hasn't happened. So, okay, well, get it fixed. So that was when I was feeling better, then something else went wrong. Okay, so then end of February of last year, or of this year, I guess, 2022, we're out in the desert, and I got like I passed out in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh man, that's in the middle of the night. It's like, oh my gosh, I've never passed out before. So it was really concerning, right? And so I went to the doctor, and they're like, oh, you have a severe urinary tract infection. I'm like, what? It's kind of strange, right?
Never usually, had that before either.
No, never had that before. And usually it's women that get like UTIs or whatever, right? Like,
right.
Okay. So they checked my PSA level, and it was like through the roof. But when I went to the urologist, they're like, yeah, they shouldn't have checked that, because it's, if you have an infection, it's going to be through the roof anyway. So, but it sparked a lot of fear in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because I think about my kids and, so I'm not a doctor or anything, so I don't know like what all this stuff means that they're telling me. It's like, okay, well, what do I have prostate cancer or something? Right.
Right. Right.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, they put me on these strong antibiotics. So this is more antibiotics. Oh my gosh.
Right.
Yeah, I guess after the full workup in the hospital and stuff, I go home just the side effects and stuff, you know, dizziness, weakness, you know, anxiety, and just can't focus really.
Right. Right. Uh-huh. And then you have that on your mind too, because now I am getting toward the age where I need to think about things like prostate. And I know they tell you, well, at least they told me, okay, we're going to monitor it, check back in another 3 or 4 months and see what the numbers are looking like. And so that kind of builds too, right? Because
So then you're like, okay, well, 3 or 4 months. Okay, now I got to wait for 3 or 4 months exactly. To see if it's getting better. So yeah, anyways, I checked back after my first round of antibiotics, and then had the test, and I was like, oh, I felt better, but then I checked, and then it's like, oh, you still have infection. Like,
oh.
What? Huh. Oh, man. So then the doctor's like, well, you got to take more antibiotics.
Oh, my.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, yeah, anyways, it was a big ordeal for me.
Yeah.
So after that, shortly after, I guess, the second round of the strong stuff, it was like March 27th. I was in church, right, at Catalyst.
Yeah.
And that's really where my really where my testimony begins. So it was something that never happened to me really in my life. So I thought, okay, well, it's something worthy of sharing for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So, anyways, yeah, Pastor Barry was talking about like biblical worldview and stuff, and this is stuff that I'm really interested in. And so, yeah, he was calling on that particular Sunday. He was calling on all the men to stand up and fight for their families, basically, based on what's been attacking the family unit and what's been challenging us as families and our wives and children. Right. So, he challenged us. He says, stop being passive and pretending like nothing is going on, you know. So he called on all the men in our church to come to the front if we were willing to take the first step towards waking up and fighting, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was one of the first ones up there because, you know, I've been following what's been going on. And,
yeah.
And, you know, the attack, I've been thinking about all that stuff. It's been kind of my battle for the last few years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, anyways, while we were worshiping together up in the front, I just sensed God. He was wanting me to humble myself to him. So I got down on my knees and I prayed and praised him from the floor. Right.
Yeah. I'm just curious, what was going on when you did that act of bowing your knee before the Lord?
I don't know at the time. I think that it was just a sense that God was telling me, like, you know, he wanted to see me humble myself. He said,
yeah,
he could fight for me.
And wow.
All I needed to do was humble myself.
Yeah.
And to allow him to do the fighting for me. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so anyways, yeah, while I was kneeled there, Rick Akiyama, he came and he kneeled by me. He's part of the prayer team. And
yeah,
he kneeled by me and was praying with me without saying anything directly to me and just encouraging me to let go and let God move in me. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so anyways, after the last song, I stood up with Rick and I noticed a lady standing in front of me. I didn't know this lady and never actually met her, right? So we received the benediction from Pastor Barry, and then I was chatting with Rick a little bit about what had been going on in my week.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the lady showed up in front of me again and just waited there patiently, and then Rick said, "Hi, Martha." That's this lady, right?
Yeah.
And asked what was up, right? So Martha said, she said to me, she said, I was given a picture from God. I didn't know who it was for, but God has led me to you. I don't know you, but he led me to you. Can I share it with you? So, oh, of course.
Yeah.
So she went on to say, it's a parachute. So you have a parachute, but it's not open yet. And as you're falling, you're screaming. And then she kind of laughed a little. I wasn't really laughing because, you know. but then the parachute opens. The parachute is God, and he's covering you, and he's got you.
Wow.
As you go through the clouds, you come through to the other side and see the vast beauty below you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I wrote this down because, you know, I was like, oh, this was something, like, really meaningful at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So then after that, she took a little bottle out and said to me, also, I made some anointing oil. I was like, anointing oil, okay. This is holy oil that I would like to anoint you with. I want you to be the first person I anoint with this oil. I will anoint your head, and for some reason, God wants me to anoint your hands too. When they used anointing oil, it was not just for anointing, but also for healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I said, okay. I took off my cap to receive it, right? Mm-hmm. And so she prayed, anointed my head with oil, and with the cross of the oil on my forehead, and then she performed an anointing with the cross symbol on each of the palms of my hands. Mm. She said she didn't know why, but she believes that God wants to do great works with my hands. So then afterwards, I was just, oh man, I was in awe. I was almost in tears, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Received something like this from a perfect stranger. And not only that, it was like spot on with what I was going on.
Really resonated with you, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, I was just, I sort of chuckled with Rick, who was more aware of my circumstances at the time. And she added that God put one more word in mind for me. The word was allow. She said, I need to allow God to work in me. So she said that I just need to listen to him. It may sound like something I really don't want to do, but he likes to spar with me and my arguments, and he has a sense of humor, and that in the end he wins.
Yeah.
She's, said that I'm just seeing a very small piece, but he wants to show me the big picture.
Wow. So I'm just curious, how are you soaking all this in when you hear the word allow, and, you know, allowing God to work in your life, and then the idea of sparring with God? Was anything going on within you at that time?
Yeah, I think that it really resonated with me because, you know, I have control issues, right?
So
if I want something a certain way, that's my way, right? Or I'm controlling the situation. But what this said to me was like, release your control.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Allow him to do it his way, which is the right way, not
yes.
my way.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And then how about the idea of the sparring with God? Had you had a chance to process that or the sparring?
Yeah, I think the part about the sparring would probably have to do with rationalizing things or justifying situations, making arguments that maybe make sense in my earthly mind, but they don't really make sense. Or they don't really make sense to me, or they don't really make sense spiritually, maybe.
Okay, yeah. So I'm just curious, because there's really sort of a lot to unpack with this prophetic word that Martha gave you, and Martha, who attends Catalyst, and God frequently downloads prophetic words for others through her. I'm wondering, like, as you've had a chance to kind of reflect back on this picture of you followed by the parachute opening, I'm wondering how some of these images, what they represented to you at the time. So, like, the you screaming, is that kind of the fear or something similar to that experience at the time?
Yeah. So, usually you scream out of fear, right?
Yeah.
I was in the midst of fear, fear for your life, fear for what could happen to your family, and just fear of the unknown, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that part, it made sense, right? And I was falling. I felt like, you know, I was fine, and then I was falling.
Right. And then there's the part about the parachute opening, and you had mentioned that represents God. And so from your perspective, what was God saying to you, or what do you feel like God was saying to you with that parachute opening?
Yeah, so I think that with the passing of my dad and the passing of my grandpa, I was missing the spiritual covering of my father's, my earthly father's.
Yeah.
And so God's telling me, he's like, I got you, you know, I am the father.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I was interpreting from the picture.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you know, what comes to mind, Mark, are a couple of things. You know, I think of the parachute as being, you know, safety, you know, right. We're safe in the hands of God. And then you use that word allow, and it was almost like God saying, you know, allowing you to rely on him to sort of be your parachute that was going to carry you and be your heavenly father watching out for you.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I don't know what your thoughts are. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, for sure. So to continue the following week, I had signed up to go to the cleansing seminar.
Yes. So
with Pastor Timothy Davis.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the reason I signed up was for physical healing, right? Mm-hmm. At the time, I was going through all these physical problems.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, like, this would be great for me to go and receive physical healing. I went to the seminar, and it's kind of funny. Like, you go to these things for your, you know, in your mind you have a certain plan, right? Or you have some sort of idea of why you want to go to this, and God has something else, right? Mm-hmm. He always has something else in store, and it's always surprising me. It's like, oh, okay, well, you actually need this. So, Yeah, so the following week, so this was April 2nd of 2022. cleansing seminar. So
yeah,
at that place, I received a lot of messages too from God through a variety of people there.
Yeah,
it's a little bit different because it's almost it's not as random as the situation that I experienced with Martha at church, right?
Mm.
But over there, you kind of have a posture of receiving messages from God. So, yeah, one of the messages, the first message that I received from God was from an older lady, and she said that God said, this is kind of a funny phrase. She said, "Receive your manhood." I'm like, "Receive my manhood." Okay, so it was kind of interesting because I think that God was highlighting to me that this year God's been highlighting to me that I need to relearn how to receive, right? Mm. So the word receive was pretty significant for me. And then, you know, the word manhood, it's like, okay, well, a few reasons at the time. One was I was dealing with the loss of my dad and my grandpa, the men in my life. And then the other one was, it's almost like a play on words, right? Like health issues with your manhood. No, but yeah, the receiving part, you know, it's like, okay, well, yeah, God wants to give to us, and then we just give back. We just need to give back a little. He's like a father, right?
Yeah, he's, yeah.
He'll give. Like what Pastor Barry was saying about the image with the big arrow from God down to you. We just have to receive it.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And then just a little arrow pointed back up to God.
Yeah. And it sounded like you did receive, you received that word that you got.
Yeah. I guess the next thing that they were, God was telling me, was kind of really meaningful to me. It hurt a little bit. God told this one to me directly. So my wife Roxanne was there too, and she was up front receiving prayer, and I was in my seat, and I was overcome with conviction at the time. God said to me, he said, "You have defiled my creation, Roxanne." I was like, that one. Yeah, that one hurt, because to defile means to make unclean or impure or violate the sanctity of. So, yeah, those words were pretty tough to hear, but at the same time, I was thinking about that anger that's been surfacing, and she's kind of taken the brunt of it, right? Yeah, so that one was really convicting for me. And And then the third one was a little bit different. It was more had to do with my dad, my earthly father. So I went up to receive anointing from false gods from past generations, and so that one was kind of different because they said, "Well, do you have any problems with drugs and alcohol?" I said, "No." "Oh, maybe your mother or father?" I said, "Oh, yeah, my dad did." She said, "Well, the alcoholism of your father was like his religion and a false god. And it's causing you to have a type of religion against alcohol." They also said that, you know, I could take that and receive forgiveness. Take that to the cross, receive forgiveness for the brokenness.
Wow.
And that I don't need to carry around. And then they said that I felt like I didn't have support during the time of the alcoholism, and now I can receive support. So then they said the word receive again. I was like, okay.
Right, yeah. Right. So you go to the cleansing seminar and you get all these words, and again, it sounds like it's really resonating with you. And so how, when you left there, how did you receive, or what things did you do after you got this word and you started moving forward with your life?
Well, I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly how to answer that question. It was a lot to process.
Yeah.
And actually, there was actually a fourth message that I received that was pretty powerful too.
Okay. Yeah. What was that?
One lady there, she was praying for me, and she said, God says to me, you know, all I need to do is ask him and it's yours, anything. Mm-hmm. And she says, God has great plans for your life. God has a tender spot in his heart for you. And she said right then, she could see Jesus standing behind me with his hands on my shoulders. And the Father was in front of me asking me to come to him. And Jesus's eyes were fiery and on me fiercely. And his presence is strong in me.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time it was like, oh man, yeah, so this was really meaningful for me because Jesus was right behind me, focusing on me, and in front of me was the Father, right? The one that I really need right now is because I lost my earthly father.
Right.
So yeah, and then when she's like, oh yeah, God has great plans for your life, it's like, well, me being in this situation of fear and dealing with health problems, you know, you don't know how much, you know, time or what God's plan is for you at the time, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So yeah, it was really reassuring, I guess, to say, okay, well, I guess I do have some more time here.
Yeah. And you know, a word that comes to mind is when I hear that powerful message that you got is hope. I don't know if that resonates with you, resonated with you as far as hope goes. You know,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. I was feeling better at the time, right? So after all this, it was definitely reassuring when Martha gave me that word.
Yeah.
That God's got me and I don't know. I was reading a little bit more about the anointing oil. because nobody's ever approached me before with anointing oil and let alone homemade anointing oil and wanting to anoint me with it. And so I was like, okay, well, let me read a little bit more about it, especially since she's like, oh yeah, well, I don't know why God wants me to do the anointing of your hands, but I'm going to do it because he's asking me to. So I read a little bit about it, and there are several different uses for anointing oil. But one application that caught my eye, or this is kind of what I was looking for, is one application was to anoint the palms of your hands to receive healing.
So
when I saw that, I was like, oh, man, God's going to heal me, right?
So
so I was feeling better. But, you know, I still had that fear, you know, the fear like, do I have prostate cancer?
Right.
Is just the doubts, right?
Yeah.
And I think after receiving these words from God, the enemy wanted to take those away. He wanted to kind of threaten that security that God was giving me.
Yeah.
So he's pushing more fear into my life, like. My grandma got COVID or whatever. And, you know, I'm close to my grandparents, so when she gets COVID, I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah.
But she was fine.
Yeah. So I'm just curious. So when did things start changing for you?
So when did things start changing? So
in for the better or more positive.
Yeah. So this whole experience really started to change me right off the bat, right? So when you have a health issue, you can't continue on the current path that you're on. So I was on a current path of anger and destruction just kind of withdrawing myself from my relationships. And when you need somebody during a time of health crisis, all that changes, right? You can't continue with the same strategy that you had.
Yeah.
Because you mm-hmm. need help, right? Mm-hmm. So I needed the support of my wife. I needed the support of everybody around me, Catalyst. And yeah, so it started right away, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that God was telling me, like, hey, you gotta make some changes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm hearing for you, it was, first of all, the realization that God was your heavenly Father and had your back, and also the Catalyst family, people to surround you, your small group, people like Catalyst. Is that
yeah, how you see yeah. it? Yeah, I mean, yeah. through all
and
this,
your family too.
You know, yeah, my yeah. wife, she Roxanne, she's been like really supportive and
yeah,
and
yeah,
praying for me all the time and
yeah.
And then my mom, you know, my mom, she's kind of got more of a forward nature. So she was always convicting me with the truth about, you know, how I treat the people around me or how mm-hmm. I treat Roxanne. And so it was good to hear it directly from her.
Yeah, yeah.
And my Aunt Nancy, she was really encouraging.
Yes.
And, always willing to pray for me. And you know, at Catalyst, it's really great. You know, Pastor Barry fosters a culture of community and
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
supporting different ministries like this one, and you know, Rick with the prayer team, and
yeah.
Our small groups are great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, there's been a lot of support around me during this time, and you know, the enemy threatens me, but you know, we have an army tier too.
Yes, yes. It's almost like as you were saying that, I was seeing that parachute being more than just God, but being the church family, all the resources at Catalyst, and just surrounding you.
Yeah.
And so you had, or actually Martha had mentioned in the prophetic word that when now that the parachute's open, you can kind of enjoy the view more. And so I'm wondering if you can speak to that. How, for you, how have you been able to enjoy the view, so to speak, more?
It's just great to have that awareness about how God is working directly in your life, even, you know, using the people around you to speak to you, using the people around you to support you, not having to carry all these burdens on my, just allowing him to carry it for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been a huge takeaway for me. On this.
Wow. That's so awesome. And so now fast forwarding to, I think, you had mentioned, November of 21, but correct me if I'm wrong, you go back and you get that PSA checked, and then you find out what?
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. So, like, PSA is one of those things where it has a six-week half-life or something. So, basically, you go in and get it checked, and then I went back in, like, in, what was it? I don't know, I guess May. Yeah, so May, I thought, okay, yeah, I feel better. I should be better. And it was still high.
Right.
I was like, oh, man. So
right.
And she's like, okay, well, come back in 3 months. Well, 3 months of waiting for the next test to come back, right? So 3 months. So then it was August, right? And it was still high. But it was moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Right? So I was like, okay, it's still high. But, you know, you just want it to be over and done with, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so then it's like, okay, 3 months later, okay, 3 months more of this waiting game. Uh-huh. And then in November, right, this month or this past month, came back and it was back to normal, basically.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, yay. Yeah, praise God. Thank you. Now I can share my story with John.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Wow. Wow. That is so awesome. Your journey is just so incredible. You can just see God's hand in it. And I know for you, you've had a lot of takeaways, and I wondered if you can share a few of the things that God showed you and laid on your heart.
Yeah. So I think the first one that's kind of important is I was doing things my way. God wanted my attention. And I thought that I understood what was best for me and my family, but what he showed me was that he's God. God is God, and I am not, right? So it's a relief.
Yeah.
It's a relief.
That's right. You don't have to carry that weight yourself.
No. Yeah. The other thing that was really important was, I wanted physical healing, but one of the things that was kind of holding me back was I was holding on to unforgiveness.
Okay.
Towards one of my cousins. You know, it's just giving Satan a foothold, right? It's not doing anything good for me. Another really big thing that kind of resonated with me was the power of words, right? So,
yeah.
Recently, our small group went through a Bible study about the power of words, the universe was created by God speaking it into existence. And,
yes.
And life or death, life and death are in the power of the tongue, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that convicted me, right? So I was being verbally abusive at times, and it was destructive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe that that was part of the reason that it led to my sickness, right? So. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, one of the things that I did was, when I was sick, was to speak life out loud into my body, even when I didn't feel good. So my mom, she gives me all these little booklets and stuff,
yeah,
or DVDs from some of the ministries that she listens to.
Uh-huh,
and, and at the time when she gives them to me, I'm like, oh gosh, another one of these. Okay. But then when you need it, like this, at this time, I was like, oh yeah,
yeah,
where's that booklet that she gave
me?
So I pulled it out. It's this particular one that I was reading every day was called God's Creative Power for Healing by Charles Capps.
Yes.
It's just a little leaflet about, you know, it's got all these different verses in it, and
you want to, it looks like you maybe want to share.
Let me look in here.
Yeah, well, let me just say, so back when I was in high school, I read the Charles Capp had a book called The Tongue, A Creative Force, and that book literally got me through high school, because I remember, just, you know, when you have fear, you quote these scriptures. When you're sick, you quote these scriptures. And I just remember how powerful it was. You know, you talk about the power of words. Mm-hmm. Exactly what you said, that the power of our words can heal and have life, or they can have the opposite effect.
Right.
And so it really resonates. But
So one of the verses, I mean, there were a lot of verses in here that I would read out loud. So one was, Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Mm. Therefore, I refuse to allow sickness to dominate my body. The life of God flows within me, bringing healing to every fiber of my being.
Wow.
So that's Matthew 8:17, and a mix with John 6:63.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's it just feels good when you're not feeling good to actually say, speak life into your body.
Yes, right. Yeah. Because it's so easy, isn't it, Mark, to do the opposite, right? When we're not feeling well, we say, oh, I'm feeling so sick, or I'm feeling so, you know, lack of energy, or whatever it is.
Yeah, and
we need to start confessing more positive words, don't we?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that is so awesome. And I'm just curious, because you had talked about also the unforgiveness. So it sounded like you were able to get to the point where you were able to forgive your auntie. So I wondered if you can talk about how that came about, and then how you felt afterwards.
Yeah, so after I was convicted about holding on to that unforgiveness, and how that was holding me back from physical healing, really, too. I said, you know what, there's no reason for me to hold on to this anymore. This is just destructive. It's shown to be destructive. So, basically it was, I would kind of equate it to like jumping into ice cold water. It's like, yeah, I didn't want to do it, but, you know, it was okay once I jumped in. So
yeah,
my aunt was just visiting my grandma, and, you know, I said, okay, I'm going to do this. So I went outside and I said, you know, I've forgiven you, right? I've forgiven you for, what you did to me and how you made me feel about the situation. And, I just want to let you know that I forgive you.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was her reaction?
So her reaction was kind of, she was kind of caught off guard, right? Yeah. She was like, oh, she didn't have much time to process it. Right.
Right.
So
right.
It was almost like, how you doing? I'm fine. Kind of like an automatic response. She's like, well, you know, I've forgiven you too. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm not sure how much she meant it at the time, but I'm sure that it, it kind of cleared the air a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so awesome. And so it was after that experience that you started feeling better, or you felt like some things were getting better for you physically?
I think I was already starting to feel better, this was something that was still lingering, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it's work in progress, huh?
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, as we get ready to wrap up our time together, I want to ask you, what are, you know, you have so many experiences and words that God has downloaded to you. What words of advice would you pass along to those listening, and out of all your experiences?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I guess the first thing that I would say is, like, if God tells you something, then you should probably listen.
Yeah.
I learned kind of the hard way. He kept on telling me stuff, and I was like, yeah, okay, maybe later. But then, yeah, he really got my attention this time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't really fun. It wasn't fun.
But it worked.
It worked. Yeah, but I guess another thing that I would, like, the verse that came to mind this morning for me to share is Jeremiah 29:11.
Yes, yes.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you.
Yes.
Plans to give you hope and a future.
Yeah, yeah.
So all those thoughts from the enemy, mm-hmm. They were all just lies.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Wow. Wow, that is so awesome. Whew. Well, Mark, as we close our time together, I just want to first of all thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing your heartfelt journey and testimony with us.
Well, thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, and I'd like to end our time lifting up a prayer of thanksgiving for your encouraging testimony and for our listeners as well. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for being with Mark during his journey this far, and I just thank you, Father God, for that during all the health scares and trials that Mark realized that you were the parachute he could turn to protect and restore him and hold him close in the palm of your hands so that he could enjoy the spectacular view of life which you have provided to all of us, Lord, in abundance, according to John 10:10 in the Bible. And I thank you, Lord, that, Father God, you're our parachute, Lord, saving us from death into eternal life, as your word says in John 3:16, but also giving us hope and a future, like Mark quoted in Jeremiah 29:11. And Lord, help us to turn to you as Mark did and humbly surrender our fears, knowing that you care for us, and that's 1 Peter 5:7. And Lord, thank you for helping Mark in this area of forgiveness, Lord, with his auntie, and I just thank you for just not only the realization, but helping Mark in his heart to forgive, but Lord, for the fruit that's coming out of it too, Lord, and that Mark can go forward and allow you, as he said, to work and thrive in his life. And Father God, finally, Lord, I just thank you for Mark's admonishment in the power of words, how true it is, Lord, that we have the power in our words to life or death. And so, Lord, help us, Father God, just like you helped Mark, to be mindful of the words that we say, not only to others, Father God, but to ourselves as well. And I just thank you again for the fruit that you're showing Mark through his words, Lord, as it's helping him in his relationships and with his family, Lord, and we just thank you for that. And Lord, finally, I thank you that with you we have nothing to fear, and as you've said in Isaiah 54:14, you have nothing to fear, and fear will be far removed and will not come near you. And we just claim that, Father God, for our listeners as well, and for our lives, Lord. And so thank you, Father God. Lord, may you now use these testimonies in Mark's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mark. And that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspirations to others. Thank God. God bless.